Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Cal Fritzy. And I think I got some very bad feedback there, opening up the show with the theme. I don't know if that was just my end. I hope you did not hear that, but if you did, my deepest apologies for that. Hopefully, it will not come back. But anyway, like I say, welcome to the show. I want to talk to you today about the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, there's a lot of people out there who are not quite sure exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood is and what they represent and actually how dangerous the Muslim Brotherhood is. I'm here to give you an overview of who they are, what they are, what they represent, and what they mean to us in the West. The Muslim Brotherhood, it's a multinational Islamic revivalist organization based in Egypt. It was founded by a primary school teacher. His name was Hassan Albana. Now, it was originally established in 1928 as a social youth club, stressing moral and social reform rooted in Islam. By 1939, it turned into a political organization. From its founding in 1928 through today, the Muslim Brotherhood has been a focal source of opposition to the government, rejecting the Western influences of secularism and modernization. Despite a constitutional ban against religious-based political parties and the Brotherhood's technically illegal, though highly tolerated, status, members have been elected to Egypt's parliament as independents in 1984, 1987, 2000, and most recently in Egypt's 2005 parliamentary elections, in which the Muslim Brotherhood won a record high of 88 seats of the total of 454. The Muslim Brotherhood has given rise to several militant and violent organizations for which it has received much criticism. They have received this criticism from opposing groups and even amongst the offshoots themselves. So, the Muslim Brotherhood, a political entity? Well, their ideology might change your mind about that. Albana, his Islam, it was an all-encompassing one, people. This is pretty much what Albana had to say about his creation of the Muslim Brotherhood. We believe the provision of Islam and its teachings are all-inclusive, encompassing the affairs of the people in this world and hereafter. And those who think that these teachings are concerning only with the spiritual or ritualistic aspects are mistaken in this, in that they believe, because Islam is a faith and a ritual, a nation and a nationality, a religion and a state, spirit and deed, holy text and sword. The glorious Quran considers these things to be the core of Islam and its essence. Now here, Al-Banna, he reveals the Muslims how the Brotherhood derives their definitions of an ideal Islamic state through their interpretations of the Quran. So see what I mean? It is not a political party, ladies and gentlemen. Previous reformists such as Muhammad Abduh and his disciple Abdullah Rashid Rida wrote of the philosophies in which Al-Banna identified. Rashid Rida, he committed himself to the Salafi movement. And if you are not familiar with Salafism, please study it. Salafism is one of the most dangerous offshoots of Islam. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go off script here for a minute. I'll give you an example of how extreme Salafism is, okay? 80% of the mosques in the UK operate under the principles of Salafism. Take note of what's happening in the UK today. Rashid Rida, he committed himself, like I say, to the Salafi movement, a movement committed to a restoration of an earlier golden age of Islam, the period of the pious ancestors, the Salafi al-Salin. Al-Banna became a disciple of Rida and ardently adopted Rida's interpretations of what comprised an Islamic state. Although Al-Banna's Islamic state nearly directly mimicked the Islamic state proposed by Salafia reformism, his gained more popular support and thus became the first mass movement for Islam. Al-Banna believed that the spread and creation of a genuine Islamic state could only occur through the banning of Western ideas and influence on Sharia doctrinal law. Sharia is the code of law derived from the Quran. Here we are. I'm just moving things around. I don't have a chat room. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I see people in there, but I cannot see them texting or anything, so my apologies for that. Now, I want to talk to you about why the Muslim Brotherhood was formed. There is crisis in the Islamic world. This was following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire and the subsequent abolishment of the symbolic caliphate system in 1924 by Turkish Secular Republic forces led by Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. The prolonged Western presence and dominance issued modernism into the Islamic world and symbolized a greater shift away from the fundamentals of Islam. Hassan al-Banna responded to modernity and formed his revivalist Muslim Brotherhood in order to revive the focus on Islamic values that had been disrupted by Western secularism and materialism. Al-Banna's organization started, like I say, it just started as a small, you know, little social group, but it gained a lot of followers from young people, college students, young professionals, and other such social groups. This enabled Al-Banna's Brotherhood to achieve what previous Islamic reformists did not, a mass political grassroots movement. Now, like I say, however, it is not only a political entity. It is all encompassing. The Muslim Brotherhood wants to control every aspect of one's life. They follow the principles of the Quran. This is not mere political, ladies and gentlemen, not by a long shot. I'm going to give you a chronology of events. These are activities of the Muslim Brotherhood and surrounding events. In 1924 until 1949, Hassan al-Banna, he led the Muslim Brotherhood. In 1953 to 1966, Sayyid Qutb, he led the Brotherhood. In 1967 to present day, the Muslim Brotherhood continues to flourish. In 1924, the National Assembly of Turkey abolishes the caliphate and crisis ensues in the Islam world. In 1928, the primary school teacher, Hassan Albana, establishes the Muslim Brotherhood as a youth club, primarily stressing moral and social reform with Islam at its core. In 1936, Anglo-Egyptian Treaty, the Muslim Brotherhood takes a pro-Arab position and stands by the Palestinians fighting against Zionist settlements in Palestine. This formally initiates the Muslim Brotherhood's transformation into a political entity. In 1939 to 1945, the Brotherhood develops the clandestine secret apparatus, and I'll get to that in a minute. 1939, the Muslim Brotherhood defines itself as a political organization. A. Islam is a comprehensive, self-evolving system. It is the ultimate path of life in all its spheres. B. Islam emanates from and is based on two fundamental sources, the Quran and the prophetic tradition. C. Islam is applicable to all times and places. Representative of the Brotherhood, maturing political stance and defining of Islam as a total ideology dictating the political, economic, social, and cultural lives of believers. That is what is laid out in 1939. In 1940, the organization boasts 500 branches, each with its own center, mosque, school, and club. The Brotherhood established militant training camps in the Mukattam Hills near Cairo and in south of Egypt. 1940s. Beginning in the 1940s, brothers shared their ideologies and nationalist leaders of the Free Officers Organization and thus increased membership through the recruitment of military officers. In 1942, during World War II, the British force Egypt King Farouk, he appoints the pro-British Wafed leader Nahas Pasha as prime minister and ruins King Farouk's image in the end. Thus, the Brotherhood gains support as Western forces further dominate their land. Mm-hmm. In 1946, the Muslim Brotherhood claims to have 500,000 active members in 5,000 branches and an additional 500,000 sympathizers. In 1948, the Brotherhood initiates terrorism and subversive activities. The Brotherhood holds the Egyptian government solely responsible for the losses and Arab disaster during the Arab-Israel War. In December of 1948, Prime Minister Pasha instates a state of martial law and bans the Muslim Brotherhood. December 28th, the Prime Minister is assassinated by a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And please pay special attention to this, okay? In 1948, December 1948, Prime Minister of Egypt, Pasha, instates a state of martial law and bans the Muslim Brotherhood. Take note of that and think about what's in Egypt today. In 1949, on February 12th, Hassan Albana is killed near his office in Cairo by Egyptian Secret Service agents. In 1950, the martial law is lifted and the ban on the Brotherhood is removed. They are now allowed to function as a religion body. In 1951, Hassan Islam al-Hudabi B is elected head of the Brotherhood. In 1952, the Brotherhood returns to the political arena and is active during the anti-British riots in Cairo. In 1952, the Brotherhood members are not banned following the coup because they are in cooperation with the Revolutionary Command Council. Now, I'm kind of boring you with some of these details, but they're very important details that you must know. You must be aware of what the Muslim Brotherhood does and what it's capable of doing. Like I have been explaining to you, the Muslim Brotherhood is an all-encompassing entity crossing religious and political lines. They do have a global agenda. I am going to let this person explain it to you in a minute, but just to bring you up to present day as to what the Muslim Brotherhood is up to, the Muslim Brotherhood is encompassing all of the Middle East. We have seen them take over. They are back in Egypt. They were banned. They were reinstated. They were banned again. They are now leading Egypt. Egypt banned them. They were illegal. It was illegal to partake in any activities or belong to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt up until the overthrow of pardon me, Prime Minister Mubarak. So, like I say, they're back and they're in full force. But I want to play something for you here.
The Muslim Brotherhood is an international movement, the goal of which is to create an Islamic state universally, all over the world. In my mind, the Muslim Brotherhood is the mother of all Islamic organizations of the 20th century, including Al-Qaeda. They believe that Western civilization is corrupt, is evil, is decadent, and they want to dismantle it.
Because if you remain on the side of injustice, the wrath of God will come. Please, all Americans, did you remember that? That Allah is watching everyone. God is watching everyone. If you continue doing injustice and tolerate injustice, the wrath of God will come.
برنامج الإخوان المسلمين كل الإسلاميين من الإخوان المسلمين إلى بن لادن هو العودة العودة إلى الخلافة العودة إلى عصر الخلفاء الراشدين العودة إلى تطبيق الشريعة والعودة إلى الجهاد أربع حاجات ضرورية
The Muslim Brotherhood is like the Russian doll. It's one organization inside another, inside another, inside another. It's endless. You never have a complete sense of it unless you have the totality of the dolls. They are very, very clever if you are privy to their master plan.
The Ikhwan, which is what the Brotherhood uses to describe themselves, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. That's pretty clear as to how they viewed their own objective. And this is, we're talking about the United States here.
Our job is to change the Constitution of America.
فإن فتحوا بالدعوة هذا ما نأمله إن شاء الله سنفتح أوروبا وسنفتح أمريكا لا بالسيف ولكن بالدعوة
There was a systematic plan to establish an Islamist beachhead in the United States with the eventual goal of watching the United States crumble from within and establishing Islamic rule in this country. The West as we see today, instead of isolating the Muslim Brotherhood, actually engaging the Muslim Brotherhood as the organization that's moderate,
and these are the Muslims we can talk to. The West is tremendously naive about the danger of these various Islamic organizations.
So I hope that explained it a little better than I did. However, like I say, and if you glossed from that clip, the Muslim Brotherhood, they are engaged in endless, endless branches. Like the gentleman in the video explained, it's like the Russian doll, those little dolls. Your grandparents probably had one as a knick-knack. There's a little doll inside. There's another little doll. They get smaller and smaller and smaller. That is the Muslim Brotherhood. You never know how many little dolls you're going to unveil in that big doll. But there has also been a lot of talk about what is referred to as the Project. Well, the Muslim Brotherhood Project, it's a 1982 manifesto. It was apparently penned by Syed Ramadan, who was the brother-in-law of Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the project, it was distributed to Muslim Brotherhood members around the world who were ordered to strictly guard the project contents from outsiders, and they did so until a copy of the project was discovered during a Swiss police raid of a senior Muslim Brotherhood financier's home in Switzerland in November of 2001. Now, the project outlined the Muslim Brotherhood's 25 strategies to subjugate the world under Islam. 1. Network and coordinate actions between like-minded Islamist organizations. Avoid open alliances with known terrorist organizations and individuals to maintain the appearance of moderation. 3. Infiltrate and take over existing Muslim organizations to realign them towards the Muslim Brotherhood's collective goals. 4. Use deception to mask the intended goals of Islamist actions, as long as it doesn't conflict with Sharia law. 5. Avoid social conflicts with Westerners locally, nationally, or globally that might damage the long-term ability to expand the Islamist power base in the West, including the support of full-time administrators and workers. 6. Conduct surveillance, obtain data, and establish collection and data storage capabilities. 7. Put into place a watchdog system for monitoring Western media to warn Muslims of international plots fomented against them. 8. Cultivate an Islamist intellectual community, including the establishment of think tanks and advocacy groups, and publishing academic studies to legitimize Islamic positions and to chronicle the history of Islamic movements. Develop a comprehensive 100-year plan to advance Islamist ideology throughout the world. Balance international objectives with local flexibility. Build extensive social networks of schools, hospitals, and charitable organizations dedicated to Islamic idea so that contact with the movement for Muslims in the West is constant. Involve ideologically committed Muslims in democratically elected institutions, read the United States, on all levels in the West, including government, like I say, Obama administration, NGOs, private organizations, and labor unions. Instrumentally use existing Western institutions until they can be converted and put into service of Islam. Draft Islamic constitutions, laws, and policies for eventual implementation. Avoid conflict within the Islamic movements on all levels, including the development of processes for conflict resolutions. Institute alliances with Western progressive organizations that share similar goals. Pay attention to that one. Create autonomous security forces to protect Muslims in the West. Inflame violence and keep Muslims living in the West in jihad frame of mind. Pay attention to that one too, i.e. Boston bombers. Support jihad movements across the Muslim world through preaching, propaganda, personnel, funding, and technical and operational support. Make the Palestinian cause a global wedge issue for Muslims. Adopt the total liberation of Palestine from Israel and the creation of an Islamic state as a keystone in the plan for global Islamic domination. Instigate a constant campaign to incite hatred by Muslims against Jews and reject any discussions of conciliation or coexistence with them. Actively create jihad terror cells within Palestine. Link the terrorist activities in Palestine with the global terror movement. Collect sufficient funds to indefinitely perpetuate and support jihad around the world. All 25 elements of the project are currently being implemented by the Muslim Brotherhood around the world, including in Europe, specifically in the UK and America. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one thing. The Muslim Brotherhood is a dangerous, dangerous entity. They are stealthy. These are the men that you see walking around in business suits. These are the true terrorists. Not those little roadside bombers over there in Afghanistan. No. Those guys we can pretty much deal with. The Muslim Brotherhood, however, that's a whole new ball of wax that we're not dealing with. The Muslim Brotherhood are the business suits of terrorism. They're the clean-shaven. They are the leaders of such organizations like the Council of American Islamic Relations and the Islamic student associations that you see in the universities that perhaps your sons and daughters are attending. Please pay attention to what the Muslim Brotherhood is. Study the Muslim Brotherhood. Be knowledgeable of what the Muslim Brotherhood is and be aware of where the Muslim Brotherhood is and where they are operating and how they are determined to establish global caliphate. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I'm glad I got my chat room back, and I want to thank everybody in there. I think I've got one person in there. I have two. No, I have one. But I also want to thank whoever is listening on the phone. But I do want to thank you all who listen, and I know you do. I know that most of my listeners are my archival listeners, so I really do have to acknowledge them. They take their time off to listen to a half an hour of me. I truly appreciate that. Guys, I'll talk to you on Thursday. Have a great night.